Ladies and gentlemen of the Economic Development, Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture Committee, I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the July 1st, 2025 meeting, and I would like the Deputy Clerk to please call the roll for quorum. Chair Sperry.
I am present.
In theory, that's what Scott is saying.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran.
Here.
Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Stewart.
Here.
And Legislator Walls. You have a full complement.
Perfect attendance. I love it. Legislator Litz, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Just a quick reminder on the meeting structure. Priority is given to committee members for discussion and questions. Resolution sponsors are also given priority, and it's up to the chair's discretion to open the meeting to non-members. First, before we get into our agenda and presentation, I would like to introduce Sarah Kramer Harrison, who has just come on board as our Director of Arts, Culture, and Open Spaces. And if you'd like to come up to the podium and just say a few words, talk about anything you want.
Thank you so very much. That's very loud. Thank you. Thanks for having me tonight. It is such a great pleasure. I've been reading through the Arts and Culture Plan and want to acknowledge the great work that the legislature and the county executive's office and everyone, all the arts leaders in the communities, contributed to creating this plan. It's really brilliant and something I really look forward to helping to bring to light. So I just wanted to thank you all for this opportunity. I have an open door. I don't know my extension yet, but I'll get that to you. This is day two. So if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer them when and if they come up. So thank you so much.
We look forward to having you come back on occasion just to give us an update or any spotlights.
I would love that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Where's your office?
On the third floor in tourism.
Great.
So, thank you.
Great. All right. Next on the agenda, we have a presentation by the Ulster County Department of Economic Development. I think that Director Lynch is skirting the role of giving the presentation and handing it off to Barbara. Is that true?
Well, actually, Barbara can sit up with me, but no, I'm still going to do it.
Oh, you're okay.
Too loud.
So you're going
to. I just don't want to sit next to Dad.
You're going
to
do your job.
Someone just send them to the store. Do you call them?
Trying to keep him here.
All right.
He tried to get away from me earlier, and I yelled at him from across the hall.
Well,
so
in that case, I'll just put up with it like that. Well, listen. Thank you, Chairwoman Sperry, and also co-chair Litz and the rest of the members of the committee. Very happy to present, you know, the economic development overview and what we've been doing since the last time we met. I think this presentation is very timely, I mean, especially in light of what's going on at the national level, but more importantly, we're doing great work in the department. We're doing foundation building, and as we go through this presentation, and if I'm speaking too quickly, just or too fast, just say slow down, and certainly interrupt me if you have questions. And Barbara, to my right, is our business service administrator. I've asked her to also to my left. See, he makes me nervous. That's what I'm like. I don't know where I'm at.
But you call me a name.
I was in a meeting with them yesterday. I digress. But and it's an 8-page presentation. And as I said before, it should be rather quick. And if you have questions, you can certainly ask me. In terms of the department structure, next page, please.
You got the clicker right here.
Oh. Thank you. In terms of the department structure, clearly we're a very nimble department. As you can see, director, confidential secretary, deputy director, business service administrator, another BSA position, which we just recently filled, and we should expect this person to start on July 14th. She's going to be a strong addition to the team. She brings a great background in project management, development, and has been lead on a lot of projects around clean energy, especially working with the government. Ag Service Administrator, I mean, that's the position that was created, you know, through this committee in terms of having a coordinator to implement some of the programs under the agriculture program relating to relief under ARPA. So that's pretty much the structure of the department. And you know, if you have any questions about who we are, what we do, we also are domiciled out in on Ulster Avenue at Department Court, right next to Veterans. In terms of our mission statement, vision statement, and core values, I'm not going to read through the entire statement, but I've highlighted a couple of things, right? To grow the local economy, equity and access. In terms of the vision statement, these are key words: sustainable, equitable, prosperity. Core values, very important in terms of what drives us to do what we do. Sustainability, equity and inclusion, and continuous improvement. I mean, those are kind of the key things in which we, you know, focus on in terms of how we interact with the community, and it keeps us on our path in terms of economic development. Next page, Barbara, please. So, you know, as we think about some of these themes, and one of the words I've highlighted there was invest, right? As you know, many of you know, my background's government, but it's also investment. And when I think about investment, I think about some of the core themes around thematics and tactical. And, you know, these programs that, you know, we've worked on, we've talked about also 40, 2040, you know, people-centered economy, as well as the ag and Ag and Farmland Protection Plan, and the climate and the Community Climate Action Plan, and Workforce Development. Now, these are kind of thematic plans that really give you a blueprint and how to, you know, develop programmatic initiatives to support community development, right? And especially around different sectors. But as I think about this tactically, you know, how do we pay for some of these initiatives? And, you know, I kind of put everything in a little circle there to say that what's important to economic development is access to capital, right? Identifying resources that kind of support some of these initiatives, highlighting, you know, revolving loan funds, CDBG grants, as well as New York State ESD, and identifying funding and grants that kind of support that. We've worked with the American Rescue Plan, or ARPA. Leveraging banking relationships, which is very important, which our department does a great deal of work with, and also collaborating with mission-driven organizations, not just in Ulster, but throughout the state that kind of support that. And I've mentioned CDFIs to you in the past, but these are kind of mission-driven organizations that we've been working with. So as we go through this, tactical is really the key word in terms of how we're implementing some of these strategic initiatives. Thanks, Barb. So tactical, grant administration. Many of these programs that we do, and we're facilitators in our department in terms of facilitating these grants for many of the economic development activities in the county. ESD is a very important partner. And I'm sure many of you recall we did receive a $10 million grant for the work being done at iPark 87 under the Restored New York Communities Initiative. Result, we also received a $1.6 million grant for the Pine Hill Wellington Hotel rehab work. And if you haven't been out there, I've been out there a few times, it's going to be an amazing project. We've also secured $840,000 for the Barrel Factory, which is a mixed-use project in Kingston, which is currently underway. So that's ESD in terms of grant administration. In addition to that, we've also secured $68 million from the Hudson House, whereby they use that funding for equipment purchasing. And if you haven't been there, it's really a delightful place to visit, overlooking the Hudson. And that's CDBG money. right, and everywhere. As I said before, tactically, we have to look at different types of funding sources to be diverse in terms of supporting some of these initiatives. The American Rescue Plan on ARPA. I mean, certainly this was a one-time opportunity, not just for the county, but for the country. But in some of that money that's been dedicated for economic development, as you can see, $2 million went to agriculture relief. This past year, we were able to develop two programs, which have been very, very supportive in the community, but have also been very catalytic in terms of how we develop a foundation for continuing agriculture support. One of those programs is working with Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation, which is a regional CDFI that supports farmers in the agriculture sector with loans, grants, et cetera. But developing this relationship with the county, I think, is very strategic because it helps us lay the groundwork for funneling money to a needed sector in this county. We also worked with Soil and Mortar in providing them, you know, capital or funding for equipment purchases to support our farmers. So, you know, ARPA's been great. It's been one time. And even though we were able to get $1 million to the community, there's still $1 million out there. I hear sirens, so I'll just wait. It may be for Dennis, too. I had to say that, Dennis. So doing this work is important, right?
Really busy. It's had a significant impact on our agricultural community between the no-till drilled row mulcher and the lime spreader. So thank you, the farmers, thank you.
You're most welcome, Jay. The next piece of that is $2 million that was designated for Boost for Main Street. Initially, we're still working through that, and I can just give you a quick overview. This program will help localities kind of build the infrastructure for planning. Right, being able to do planning studies so that we can have access to additional capital, both at the state, federal, and even local levels. Many of these localities just don't have that capacity. So we're there to kind of support that and working with the planning department, sitting to my right, so that we can really have a bona fide plan of action supporting some of these localities that just doesn't have the capacity to kind of build these planning initiatives. Next slide. Thank you. So, again, you know, I talk about being tactical and what's in our pipeline. This is important, getting capital out in the community. So what's happening in 2025? I can't see this, but I'm going to go with it. So, you know, we're looking at the first item up there is the Entrepreneur Employment Program, right? $300,000. It's a program that's going to support micro grants, you know, businesses with fewer than five employees. This is catalytic because small businesses need this kind of support. But in addition to this program, it also has a training component whereby they have to go through a business plan development type of curriculum, right? And we partnered with Sam Kendall and his group to kind of support that backstop and supporting these businesses to build that business planning capability. So that's $300,000, and this ranges from $5,000 grants to upwards of $35,000 grants, which is great. The revolving loan fund, again, being skeptical. This is a $1.5 million fund that's been capitalized, which we've been able to consolidate with prior funds. But this is going to be for projects in the range of $25,000 to $150,000. It's a co-lending program, which means that eligible businesses and non-for-profits have to have either a letter of intent from a bank or some other type of commitment. So basically, if you're at $150,000 with us, you can have a project upwards of $300,000. So pretty sizable. Catalytic. It can also be used in a capital stack of other financing sources. Farmland preservation, that's still under the ARPA designation regarding the legislative intent, and that's still being worked out, so certainly more to come on that. Ulster County Cannabis Initiative, last year we had two consultants kind of work on some of the issues around developing a cannabis, I can't, the word escapes me, but developing an overall cannabis market, right, for growers, for producers, for farmers. Great deal of learning there, and with those learnings, we've kind of incorporated a different strategy. So we're looking at bringing on a consultant to look at regional regenerative cannabis and how it relates to farming, you know, branding, maybe an Ulster brand. I'm looking at different types of strands to kind of support the growth, not just, you know, in terms of business and retail, but also in terms of our farmers and how we could kind of grow that industry. So we're working on that now in terms of kind of building out that program. And I think it's going to be very impactful as it relates to cannabis as we start to see this market grow, not just in the county, but in the region. Agribusiness accelerates a feasibility study, which we are currently applying for a CFA. That's a pretty bigger program where we're going to identify opportunities for agriculture businesses to receive private funding under a venture capital model, which means we would find a brick and mortar, you know, facility where you can have pilot programs and where people can actually come and really do R&D work, which can eventually grow and build out into a bigger marketplace. I think that's very strategic for this area because of our proximity to New York City, but also because of all the agriculture activity that's going on, not just here, but in the North Country, and giving them an access to a wider population base really helps. And also our partners are here, right? Cornell Extension and, you know, Novo and the Farm Hub. So we really have a groundswell of expertise that kind of support this initiative, but we need a feasibility study to make the case to private investors. The Hemp Cottage Industry Conference. We are looking at having a conference in October. We're working with our friends at Cornell, again, who are going to kind of work, they're going to work with our department and putting together a conference where we're going to invite some of the experts in the industry, but also look at the viability of the industry as a whole in a holistic way, whether or not it makes sense, and I shouldn't say makes sense, but identify opportunities where hemp can be applied as relates to industry support, right? You're looking at construction, you're looking at farming, you're looking at clothing, paper, etc. So having, you know, the best and the brightest and industry leaders kind of, you know, participate in this is going to be very good. It's going to be a way for us to have a better idea in which to navigate as we move forward.
Okay.
Thank you. So, being tactical, again, very key word for us. And some of our tactical partners internally, as you well know, we do a lot of work with UCEDA. Our department supports them administratively. I am the CEO and president of UCEDA. And most of my staff provide administrative support, both from an administrative way, but also from a planning perspective. We also work with tourism, planning, environment, Department of Labor, as well as the IDA. You know, these partnerships are important because in some ways we're all interwoven in terms of economic development and what's important to the county. It's maintaining those relationships and information flow so that we're all on the same page and really not getting in each other's way. External partners, and I've highlighted a few of these because we actually have professional service contracts with these organizations. And I'm not going to go through the entire list, but the key ones, as I mentioned before, is the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corp, CDFI, funding resources, very important. We've also brought in a company called Brico. It's a business program that targets immigrants and new arrivals, right? Giving them business instruction and planning so that they can be, you know, business owners eventually and grow their businesses. The Hudson Valley Venture Hub, extremely, extremely, extremely important because it's another alternative resource in terms of identifying capital for startup businesses. And given that this is being housed at New Paltz, you really get a twofer, right? You get the R&D, but you also get the higher educational support. And we've had a relationship with them for 2 years now and seen a lot of growth with startups in Ulster County as well as in the region. You know, I have Cornell again, Round Out Valley Growth Association, which is a grant program, and certainly Ulster County Soil and Water. these relationships are important because, you know, capacity is one of the areas in which we struggle with, and having these partners in the community to do some of the work that we're unable to do helps us, again, to have that wider reach. Thank you. You know, tactical, again, the key word for me, operational and administration. We're as good as the people we work with, right? And one of the things that I encouraged, you know, and I call them my team members, not my staff or my employees, but we all are on the same team. So I encourage a great deal of participation in seminars and conferences. And this is just a list of some of the few that we've attended and some of the ones that we are involved with. And this is important, the training and professional development, right, for the future and having continuity. Regarding that, when you look at tool alignment, and that's also part of professional development, you know, being able to have the skill set to kind of support some of the economic development work that we're doing. And we're doing that with customer relationship management systems, or CRMs, being able to reach out and do the type of mapping we need to do to look at areas where there's possible development. You know, project management, you know, being able to understand what that means from A to Z. And identify, you know, some of the pain points around developing projects and how do you engage other partners to work with you around project management. And that incorporates also finance, project finance. So we're doing training there. Business asset mapping, very important. You know, having that capability so that someone can actually go online and see where there's assets that are being underutilized. Marketing strategies, the next step, you know, being able to sell the county. What is it that we do well, and why should you want to relocate here and be a part of this economic growth? So training the staff, having the administrative capability is very important for our department. But as I said, you know, building a team approach and training and development is tantamount to what we do. With that, I think that's the last slide. I think that's 8. You know, I was going to have a slide on opportunities and disabilities. But, you know, I just thought this was just the first time that you may hear from us, that we'll have a lot of discussion about where we see some of the opportunities and how we can penetrate those opportunities. So thank you again, Chairwoman. Do you have any questions?
Thank you so much. Legislator Stewart has a question.
Thank you, Chair. Director Lynch, I was wondering if you could give us an update on what's going on at IPARC 87. And as part of that also, I know that at one point, you know, we had talked about perhaps putting housing there. And I was wondering if that is something that is still being considered.
Yeah, you know, certainly I would love to give you an update. I would just think, you know, in this forum, as it relates to the work that we're doing with the department, I'm unable to kind of talk about, you know, the department status as it relates to IPARC. But I will say, you know, we are diligently looking at all of the opportunities, whether it's housing, whether it's manufacturing, to bring that kind of activity to IPARC. Yeah, so that's, I mean, certainly, you know, we'd be happy to, you know, the next you see to me to kind of go over some of the specifics. But at this point, I think, you know, that's as far as I could answer.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? All right. Thank you, Director Lynch.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Moving on to the agenda. I just wanted to say really quickly, next month on the agenda, we're going to have the IDA here with updates about projects and things that are going on. And we're also going to have a presentation from CCE. Looking forward to it. Okay, so we need to have an approval of the June 3rd, 2025 regular meeting minutes. Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you for that. The first resolution is Resolution 323, authorizing the Planning Department to submit an application to the New York Environmental Facilities Corporation via the NYSEFC. I thought I could like make it a fun acronym, but I can't. NYSEFC. Maybe that'll work. No? Not feeling it, Dennis? NYSEFC. No. Okay. Customer portal, Department of Planning. This just authorizes our planning director to submit an application for New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation Green Resiliency Grant Program funding under the Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Environmental Bond Act of 2022 for installation of porous pavement and bioswales. Thank you. At the County Wellness Hub of 368 Broadway to reduce runoff and manage stormwater that will avoid discharge into the combined sewer and stormwater system.
I'll move for adoption.
Second for adoption.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks so much. The next resolution is resolution number 324, authorizing the Department of Budget to submit various grant applications via the New York State Consolidated Funding Application, CFA Department of Budget. This authorizes the budget director designee to submit online applications through NYS Consolidated Funding Application at maximum award amount.
I'll move it for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks so much. Next resolution is resolution number 327, adopting the inclusion of additional lands in ag districts within Ulster County as recommended by the Ulster County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Board, Department of Planning.
I'll move it for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Resolution number 328, setting a public hearing to satisfy the public participation requirements of the Community Development Block Grant Program, CDBG, Department of Economic Development.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You guys are flying tonight. Flying.
Been here since 3:30.
Is that what it is? You don't want to spend more quality time with me, Legislator Litz?
We've also all been freezing since 3:30.
That feels good.
Resolution number 329, amending the capital project number 541, SUNY Ulster Facilities Equipment, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, SUNY Ulster. This amends the capital project to add $50,000 to replacement battery equipment for the plant operations department, $25,000 state, $25,000 Ulster County. There's a handout before you from Michael. Michael, do you want to add anything to this?
Regarding the handout, I was requested to give an update on the capital projects. So I kind of changed it from how I did it from the last time when I focused on individual resolutions passed. So I figured it was a better view to see all of our established projects in the system. And then I gave additional narratives on anything over $250,000. But through this, because like the capital is a three-step process, which is the six-year plan, then establishing the project, and then it comes back possibly if it's a part of the contract, you can kind of see where the different projects are. The only thing to note that some of the projects that are with DASNY, who does a lot of our major projects, aren't accurately reflected because those aren't recorded until the end of the year. So for example, our project to replace the West Wing windows on Vanderlyn, which is a $3 million project, or a lot of our studies, those bills have been received, but they just don't get updated until the end of the year in the system. So.
Great.
I just had a quick question.
Sure, Legislator Stewart.
So some of these things are highlighted in yellow, some of them are highlighted in pink. I can't seem to find an explanation as to what those colors mean.
Those are the ones that we chose. Oops.
Oh, wow. You have a different one. So I was trying to identify in pink which ones we had the four resolutions through tonight, The yellow, as well as some of the pink, are projects that are over the $250,000 that I provided narratives on each one of those.
Oh.
But I wanted to give you the entirety of the list that shows up in the county financial system that might even be under it.
Perfect.
Next time I will label it as such.
No,
make
way.
It
thank
easier
you.
To. That's
I, just could I add that this is just a very nice presentation. I really appreciate you putting this together. It really helps to show what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a winner. Okay, so did we have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And then resolution number 331, amending capital project number 542, HVAC upgrades campus-wide, amending the 2025 capital fund budget SUNY Ulster. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution number 333, amending capital project number 546, SUNY Ulster technology upgrade, amending the 2025 capital fund budget SUNY Ulster. This amends the capital project to $290,000 for technology equipment upgrades at most critical locations identified by SUNY Ulster Office of Information Services. This is a split between the state and the county.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And resolution number 335, amending the capital project number 701, SUNY Ulster minor critical maintenance, amending the 2025 capital project fund, SUNY Ulster. This amends the capital project to add $500,000 minor critical maintenance due to the aging infrastructure split between the state and county. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much. Those are our resolutions before us. Is there any new business that anybody would like to share? I would like to mention that Cornell Cooperative Extension's Ag Tour for elected officials is next Tuesday, July 8th, with a July 9th rain date. There was an email sent to our committee and then the full body today, the RSVP is still happening.
Thursday, thank you. Whoa. Thank you very much. I think we have at least half this committee attending. Very much looking forward to helping you better understand the investment you make in us through your the county appropriation and helping understand Eastern New York and how we operate as well.
Awesome.
I was going to say, if that is moved to the rain date, please let me know.
Oh, I have you on the list for the rain date.
Awesome.
You're not getting away with it on the night.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
And then we also have our lovely Ulster County Fair coming up beginning on Tuesday, July 29th, running through Sunday the 3rd. And I'm guessing, is it Tuesday or Wednesday, the elected officials?
So the fair itself, the Ag Society invites you to the opening ceremonies at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, the 30th. We always like to have you before to make sure you have a milkshake in your stomach by the time you attend your opening ceremonies. And get to see the wonderful work of our youth. So our 4-H team has been a bit underwater, but I've asked them to have the invite out to you all by Thursday, and we'll need to know, you know, if you're attending and your favorite milkshake flavor to get prepared for your visit.
Nice.
Mint chocolate chip.
And just a word of caution, if you're only going to be attending the opening ceremonies, be sure to leave plenty of time, because in a previous year, I was stuck in an hour-long traffic jam. So, yeah.
You just have to say, don't you know who I am?
I know. You know, that didn't work.
No.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing the news that you shared with me earlier? Because I think it's really important for this committee to hear.
I know we've all been keeping our eye on federal and other updates. I did receive informally the resignation of our SNAP Ed educator, because that funding source is very, very unsafe or unclear. That has not been one of the ones that's been added back into by the Senate. So I fear we will be losing our last remaining nutrition educator. So I just learned that today, so I haven't quite processed how we're going to move forward with that. But we won't be rehiring for that position specifically. But I think nutrition education is an enormous part of what we do in this county. And we have a really talented educator, and she is taking another job at this point, but I'd love to, we are working on pulling together our strategic plan and how connecting kind of our ag and food systems is a big part of how we do that. And I do think nutrition education is a critical part of the work we do. And we have good research connections to Cornell in that particular field as well. So I really wouldn't want to lose those. So by next month, when I'm here presenting about our budget, I will probably have some things to say about that and some ideas to bounce around to you all.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, and obviously, what's happening federally is going to then come down to the state, and it's going to come down to us. And I did forward an email to you guys on June 16th with an update from Melanie after our last meeting about some clarification that you had gotten and guidance from Cornell.
Yeah, I will add that one of the last times that I was here, I did let people know that there were some pretty catastrophic things put in, a full defunding of all Hatch research agricultural dollars and halving of Smith-Lever dollars, which fund Cornell Cooperative Extension Administration at Cornell. Those have been put back in. They're at level funding, which, we don't really celebrate because we all know cost of living increase, but certainly that's better than what had been presented previously. So we're still waiting to see how things actually come through the House at this point and that seeing how that, but one of the things we do is try to leverage our federal, state, and county dollars. So we want to make sure that the federal portion of things are at least maintaining some level of responsibility for what they've put in for the cooperative extension system nationwide.
Great. Thank you.
Farm Bureau has done some great advocacy and work on that, I would say, too. So I know many of you are connected there. Their advocacy really helped to make sure that the Smith-Lever dollars and the Hatch dollars were restored back into the federal budget at level funding.
Great. Thank you. Go ahead.
As a Cornell grad, I've been seeing that they're cutting back your own jobs. So is that affecting you guys, too? So I know Cornell is cutting back its own jobs, its own staff.
So, research universities in general are pretty much under attack at this point, which is hard news for a world where there's a lot of information we're going to need moving forward. So, at Cornell, there are about 40 staff that are at Cornell Cooperative Extension Administration. Almost all of their funding is through Smith-Lever federal dollars that are designated for cooperative extension. So our hope is that we will not lose any of those sort of critical leads. But I will say there's been an erosion over the years, and we're always trying to remind Cornell of both their importance and their responsibility as the cooperative extension institution to remain invested in what's happening in the counties as well. So for right now, we're cautiously optimistic. I wouldn't say optimistic. We're cautiously think that funding will be level at least for next year, but there are certainly lots of projections that are being made at Cornell that are not pretty about losing staff and funding, and certainly some Hatch dollars that are still might be at play. Those are the research dollars.
Yeah, and I know just from working at SUNY New Paltz, some of our science funding is going away. Some of our other, partnerships are going away. There was somebody that was supposed to be on a Fulbright scholarship who lost their funding for their Fulbright, So this is having an impact, at the local universities as well. So we'll just have to stay tuned. But all of that ripples out to our communities and the work that our, constituents can do. So just to let you know, as requested at the June meeting, Tourism Director Berger provided a PDF of the $25,000 biking promotion campaign, and it's available on the OneDrive. Also uploaded to the Drive is the bike packing campaign that was first presented to the committee in October 24. As Director Berger explained, the campaign shifted to focus on trail biking rather than road bike packing for safety reasons. So if you want to check that out, it's in the OneDrive. Do I hear a call for adjournment? Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Do I hear an all in favor?
Aye.
Have a nice life.